That's the sound of kettle corn popping. It's like popcorn, except the kernels are popped in an oiled kettle and given sugar rather than salt. Right now, we're at a place that some might say is pretty poppin' itself, the Bloomington, Indiana Farmers Market.
Be careful, it's hot yet?
That's Chris Bosters. She's a 56-year-old kettle corn farmer north of Odin, Indiana.
I was daddy's boy. They had no other boy, so I grew up doing the farming thing. It's always been my background. It's been my passion.
When the season comes around, Chris looks forward to her weekend trips to Bloomington. She puts on an old dress and apron that makes her look like someone from the early 20th century. Kettle corn has some of its roots during the Great Depression when sugar was rationed. While her son-in-law Steve cooks the corn in the back of their booth, Chris sells it up front.
Y'all have that side.
If you don't want it. Can I help you?
Yeah, we can. A couple of things. You don't want something.
Okay. Be careful, it's hot, yeah?
I eat hot.
You do? I just don't want you to get burnt, buddy. Well, I put on that old dress, I can be anything. You know, they don't know who I am or what I am. I can be anybody. I tried to treat everybody the same, and that's what's so neat about it, because I deal with them all, you know, from professors up there at IU to doctors to lawyers to the guy that works for the Walmart or the guy that flips cheeseburgers. I mean, all of them's my customers, and especially market. You know, a lot of people, I don't know the name, but I know the face and what they like and what they don't like, and it's more of a relationship with them.
She inherited the farm and business from her parents. But the family business wasn't always kettle corn. It started as cornmeal and livestock. And then someone gave her parents and husband a playful suggestion.
My parents went to Florida in the wintertime.
It was 1998.
And there was a family they met at the Florida State Fair that had a kettle corn operation.
They were the Brunkies from Missouri. They became friends, but...
This man, he was always trying to sell my husband a kettle corn operation. You know, he was trying to market him a kettle and first one thing and then two. And
Brunke shows them how to do it as long as they stay out of a local show and out of Missouri.
So my husband came home and him and my dad welded up the first winter and, you know, just kind of a dare challenge thing. And
so they play around with the kettle corn rig, serve some people at a local show, and decide
this is a way that we can make this go. This is the way we can specialize for the family farm. So basically that's how we got into it. It was a dare to build a kettle amongst two friends, and it never intended to grow into what it is today.
And today it's a family tradition. I asked Chris to show me around her farm to see all that was there.
That's a combine in there. And the grain platform.
There's her house, her daughter's house, and two main sheds with farming vehicles and equipment.
And then what is this over here that we're walking up to?
This is the original family farm. The house was built in 1875. It was homesteaded then. My parents bought it in 1958 in September. This is where I grew up.
Chris sometimes receives help from family, but...
I'm pretty much a loner. It's just me. I take care of one person, that's me. And the dog, of course. That's a dog. Yeah, she's a good dog. She's a best friend, aren't you, Autumn? Speak. Can you speak? Can you say something? Can you speak?
Oh, my goodness.
There are fewer people on the farm these days. Chris's father died in 2002. Her husband died in 2010. Then her mother died 2 years ago.
You want your parents to live in long, healthy, happy life, and your husband and the whole nine yards, but that's not the card I got dealt. I got dealt a three, and if I got dealt a three, I can't play an ace or a king. So I just deal with it. I wish they were all here, and I'm sure that everybody's lost anybody. They feel the same way, so go on. If I went back and sat in that house and sat in that chair, I'd die. So that's how I deal with all the death, all the sadness, all the things is keep busy, because when I'm working, I'm not thinking.
Chris's work helps her pay the bills. It even helped get her kids through college. But they've all moved on with their lives. For Chris, this is her way of life. On the farm, she can't escape the memories of her loved ones. They inform everything she does.
Live like you're dying because you are. You just don't realize it. And I try to do something fun every day. Just a little bit. Something I want to do. Don't put off things that you want to do for tomorrow because there may not be one.
Would you have rather had it any other way?
No. No, when my husband retired, he told me, he says, I got one move. I'll take you anywhere in the world you want to go. You want Bahamas, you want Antigua, you want California. I said, you just take me on home till daddy dies. I said, I felt obligated to be here with my parents. My dad had heart trouble. He wasn't doing well. So we came home. And when he died in 02, I asked my husband, I said, now do you want to go somewhere else? And he said, nope. He said, we're just fine right here. So I wouldn't live any different.
And that means cooking more kettle corn. I asked Chris how long she expects to keep doing it.
How long am I going to cook corn? I can't cook corn no more.
What exactly does that mean?
Oh, I don't know. As long as I'm able to, physically able, strong enough to do it, I'll do it. You know, what else am I going to do? I can get a real job. Do I really want a real job? Probably not. So, as long as I'm physically able to do it, I'll probably cook a little corn.
For WFIU, I'm Cale Wilk.